Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. My dad, Pastor Salem, dearly loved comforting people all over the world through God's Word. He had a special gift to be able to share his messages in a way that people can understand and apply to their life. We are excited to share with you a new book available at CWH, Heartwarming Devotions, Volume 1. 31 insightful devotions written by Pastor Salem. If you would like to receive this faith-building devotional where you can set time aside to focus on God and respond with personal reflection, please write, call, or visit our website at cwh.org. Today, Dad speaks about God's angels watching over us, helping us, and keeping us from the evil one in his message titled, Angels, God's Secret Agents. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem from the Christian Worship Hour, and I want to welcome you to our service today. And I say it every week, but I mean it from my heart. I'm just thrilled to be back, to be able to minister to you and to worship the dear Lord all over the world. And then we know that there are people who are coming to Jesus, and they're praying to take Jesus for the first time, and they're becoming his children. And so we rejoice that God gives us another time to worship. And I just do want to mention one thing, and that is next Sunday is International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And so I'm going to have a special sermon for them. It's called Being When the Storm Clouds Roll, and they're in the storm, and their clouds are rolling. But there's always hope in the Lord Jesus. And so I pray for this, for our service, and a persecuted church next Sunday especially. We're looking at Psalm 119, verses 9 to 12. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, Lord, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And dear Heavenly Father, that's our prayer. We want to walk with you. We want to serve you. We want to go to greater heights as we walk with you. And so just pray, and we just pray that you'll help us in this service to rededicate our life to you and redouble our efforts to walk with you and serve you in all ways. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing for us, On to Higher Ground, and God bless you. Jan.
Thank you.
Trials darken every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it. Pressing on the upward way.
thank you, Jan. And as you're singing, I know that in my heart, and I know every believer is saying the same thing. I want higher ground. I want to be closer to Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. You know, Paul says that he learned in whatsoever state he was therewith to be content. He was talking about the things of life, the material things. But when it comes, and so we should be thankful and just be thankful for what we have. But when we come to spiritual things, we want to strive to be more like Jesus. We never want to give up trying to be like Jesus. And it's a lifelong task, and God will help us, and we honor him when we'll be like Jesus. That's my song. And so thank you, Jan, for ministering to us. Now we want to read some of the letters, and we're always happy to give the letters. And I know some of you like letters, and I got a letter from somebody who was saying that wondered if they should have more letters and less sermon. And so I threw that in the garbage. I'm sorry. But we do like the letters, and we give them a lot of time because we're speaking to what people, a lot of times we're answering questions that people aren't asking. And so we're seeing where they're at and what they're asking and try to help them that way with the scripture, always with the scripture. So our first one comes from Independence, Missouri. Please send me two, Heart of a Shepherd. I'd like to send one to a friend and one to my church. I have one. I love to watch it. It brings back so many memories of when I was a child. We lived on a farm and shared the crops for rent. My family was dirt poor. I have some good memories. We all went to church. Sometimes in the summer, we would go barefooted as we had no pair of shoes. And so here's a child of the Depression, and I'm a child of the Depression and proud of it. And it was a hard, hard time, but I learned some things that helped me all through life. I've learned to be content with what I have and just to know that no matter what happens, that we can love the Lord and serve the Lord, and we never question God. I know my mother and I, it says in the Bible, where two or three are gathered together, I will do it. And so my mother was a wonderful Christian. My mother was the most wonderful Christian I ever knew. And she said, well, let's just pray, the two of us. And I prayed with my mother that we wouldn't lose the farm, and we lost it. And my mother said, I don't understand it, but I know God is God, and he'll do the right thing. We had some other neighbors that lost their farm, and there was a woman who hated God, and she went to her grave hating God because she lost her farm. Because when you have these troubles and trials of life, it will do one of two things. It'll bring you closer to Jesus, or it'll drive you farther away. And you decide what it's going to do. God doesn't decide. You decide what it's going to do. And so my mother, we lost our farm, but we didn't lose the Lord. And it was a good thing. God brought good out of it. So this lady writes, and she says that they didn't have shoes in the summer. I know we had one summer, I think two. We didn't have shoes either. We didn't get shoes till we went to school. And then, boy, you better take care of them too, and don't mess them up. And I don't know that they didn't cost much, but you didn't have anything. Somehow Dad got enough money, put shoes on the four or five children, and filled five children. So that's a nice letter, and I appreciate it. Here's Tampa, Florida. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, but I watch your program every Sabbath after I attend my church. It helps round off my Sabbath rest with the Lord. And so we're glad these folks worship with us, and there is a time when we need to just be with the Lord, trust the Lord, and lean on him, spend time with Jesus. Here's a nice letter from Langford, South Dakota. That's not too far from Aberdeen. It's a nice little town, wonderful town. And this lady writes, thanks for being a great shepherd. Many people, including myself, needed to be herded back towards God. We all stray daily, but we love our reminder that all sin. Also, your message that even pastors or yourself are not perfect and they sin. My daily sin is judgment of others, even though I may seem minor. It is still judging. Thanks for doing the good movie, great movie. A part-time herder of cattle, love and blessing to you. So this is a really nice letter. And for one thing, it says that it teaches us we all stray. We can all drift. And you'd think the pastor, boy, he'd be perfect. Boy, I'm telling you, he's got the battle just to, I'm talking for myself now. Maybe the other pastors are perfect. I don't know. But I know that I'm not. But I have the grace of God. And you know, you make a sin and then you do it again. And so how many times can you do that? 7 times 70? No, 70,000 times 70,000 times. You can go to God 1,000 times and forgive that, praying for forgiveness from that sin, and he will. He says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's grace is greater than any of our sins. And so never give up. Just stay with it. And then here's another thing she says, a part-time herder of cattle. Cattle. You know, I love those sheep. Those sheep are so kind, and they're so tender-hearted, and they're so fluffy and white, and they're so just so gentle and everything, but they're dumb. They are dumb. And don't write and tell me, because we had sheep. I was raised with sheep. I herded sheep. They're dumb. And you just can't do it. And what did God say? All we like sheep. Why didn't he say, well, all we like cattle, all we like horses, all we like dogs have gone astray? No, sheep. And if a sheep gets lost, he's lost. He'll never find his way home. You have to go get him. That's what we're doing with the Christian Worship Hour. We're telling you, if you drifted away, you can come back. Prodigal son came back. You come back to Jesus. His arms will always be open. If you come repentant, sorry for your sins, ask forgiveness, he'll never turn you away. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Well, let's see, where is this? West Des Moines, Iowa. We love you, loved your movie. We both cried. Can we get 7 more? God bless you all. And so I know that we get people are really touched by that film, by that movie, because it's true. It's true to life. It's just the way we were. We had our hard knocks. We had our good times. We had our tough times. And what we're trying to show you is that no matter what comes, you just put your faith in Jesus. Just love Jesus. He'll see you through. He'll help you through, see? They want 7. If you want 700, we've got them. We've got a good store of them. And what we do is we take them, we'll send them out on a free will offering basis. And you just send a gift to for the ministry of this ministry to keep this ministry going, and we'll send you whatever you want. And they retail it at $10, but we don't have any price on it. We're not putting out a price, because we're just, whatever the gift is, that we'll accept. And if you don't have any money, we get letters from people in prison, sometimes the chaplain, and we get sometime retirement homes, and we gladly send them free. And you say, well, how can you do that? I'll tell you how you can do that. We have people they'll send in some money and says, Well, I've got some money, and I want to help the people that don't have it, so take this, and we make money on them. So if you don't send enough money, we'll probably make money on you. I don't know. I just know that God will provide for what he wants done. If he doesn't want it done, we don't want to do it. If he wants it done, we'll do it. So you just pray for us and just support us as best you can. Let me see here is Missouri. Hang in there. Your train is a-coming, and Jesus, our conductor, will say, all aboard. Well, you know, really, I'm 97 years old, and I really am just waiting for transportation. So maybe I'll hear that all aboard. Maybe I'll hear that shout where Michael shouts, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. He shouts, and the dead in Christ will be raised. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, comfort one another with these words. Boy, there is great comfort in that. God's going to have the last word, and we're going to be on the winning side. You better get on the winning side too. Get Jesus. Get to Jesus. That's what you got to do. Let me see. Worcester, Massachusetts. I ordered your DVD and gave it to my oldest niece so all my other nieces and nephews can renew their faith in the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe you have an anointing in these end days, and God is leading you in the teaching of the truth and the Bible of being saved. May God richly bless your ministry and your family. Keep telling it like it is. And so she says here, to renew your faith, that's exactly what it is. And you'll be strengthened with this film. You'll be blessed by it. You just can't help. There's so many people praying. It's just bound to be a blessing and a help to you. And you pray for us as we carry on this ministry. Here's one from Arizona, Mountain Home. Please send two more DVDs of Your Heart of a Shepherd. It is so beautiful. And I thought, this sounds like a nice place to live, Mountain Home, Arizona. And so I'm going to get to meet this dear. This is a man that's writing this letter. Someday I'm going to see him in heaven to talk about Mountain Home, Arizona. And I'll tell him about Belfour, South Dakota. Boy, that's a cow town. That's a wonderful town. I'm very proud of it. I had to leave it, but that's all right. One more, Marcellini, Missouri. I lost my husband in November last year. He was in bed for so long, but we always watched the Christian Worship Hour. He accepted Jesus through your services. And when he was so bad, he tried to tell us he had Jesus in his heart. Really, really was so much easier to go through knowing he had accepted Jesus into his heart. Isn't that a beautiful letter? Just want to make you cry for joy. I want to tell you something. All of you people that pray for us and all you people that give had a part in this man coming to Jesus on his deathbed. And he's in heaven today, and you'll see him when you get there. And so when you invest in this ministry, it's something that's going to last forever and ever. So you say, well, I'd like to send you something. Where do I send it? Glad you asked. It's a Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And those of you on shortwave, I give it kind of slow because you don't have a screen there. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then if you want to help us in the work, we'd appreciate that so much. And then we'll just give God the praise as we move along. And I want to tell you something about your gift. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't know, we send too much money and he'll probably get a sports car. You see, 97 years old, I'm going to get a sports car. See, that's really a rumor, isn't it? Well, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. And brother, when they audit them, you can't believe it. And so that we spend every money, all of our money, just the way we call it in the budget. And it shows all is used for the proclamation of the gospel. And then one other thing I just want to say quickly, and that is we have a little Bible study that we put out every month. And this month it is Paul's Be Thankful list. And so we list the things that Paul is thankful for. And maybe you make a list of things you're thankful for. Then when you get this little bulletin, this little Bible study, you can see how you compare with Paul. But then we have other studies. Every month is a different study. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. So now I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord leads. Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Psalm 91. And I know that some of you folks have your Bibles and you're all dressed up for church. And some of you have your neighbors come over or your room, people rooming next door or something. And you look it up in the Bible. So Psalm 91, beautiful passage of scripture. I just love it. And we'll start with the first verse. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Bahrain. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by day, by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee all thy ways. Dear Heavenly Father, what a loving, kind Heavenly Father you are. And here you are, you're giving your angels give charge over us and to watch us and to help us. You never miss a thing, Lord, the tiniest things. You see it all and you know it all. And before it ever happens, you know what it is and you know how you're going to handle it and what's best for us. So we just thank you for the 91st Psalm and for other portions of Scripture that are so beautiful. It all is beautiful, Lord, but just seems that there's some of them that just speaks to our heart more than others and at different times. So we just pray that you'll help us to lean on you and trust in you. And then, of course, Lord, we pray for our persecuted church, the brothers and sisters in Christ in Bahrain. And we just think of them and how they stand up for you no matter what the cost, no matter what the price. And so help us to see how they live. They're a great band of witnesses that we can look to and see that we too need to stand up for you. And we need to stop complaining because we have so much the way it is. And help us to be thankful people and help us to be rejoicing in the Lord. And oh God, we'll just thank you and praise you and give you all the glory. So now bless us in this service. Honor your name. Be pleased in all that's said and done. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank is going to sing just before the sermon, Walking in Love. God bless you, Hank.
All of the blessings from God's gracious hand are like trying to count all the grains of sand. The sky up above could never contain how great is God's love, like falling rain. I'm walking in love, feeling his joy, living in peace every day I enjoy. There's a song in my heart that comes from above. Jesus with me is where I will be, walking in love. This life that he gives is special indeed. To know God's love is what this world needs. I pray that I walk so others can see the reason I'm happy. Jesus lives in me. I'm walking in love, feeling the joy, living in peace. Every day I enjoy. There's a song in my heart that comes from above. Jesus with me is where I will be, walking in love. I'm walking in love, feeling His joy, living in peace. Every day I enjoy. There's a song in my heart that comes from above. Jesus with me is where I will be, walking in love. Jesus with me is where I will be, walking in love. Ooh, in love.
Well, thank you, Hank. And isn't that a good way to walk, is to walk in love? And that's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. And so we have to love each other. And some people say, well, you know, this love, that you know, if you don't have it, you don't have it. And you can't legislate love. And I'll have some of them. They say, we're having troubles, we might just split because we don't love each other. And I always say, what's love got to do with it? And then because you can love if you want to. You say, you can't legislate love. Oh, yes, you can. What did God Almighty say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He didn't say, I wish you would love me, or I'd sure like it if you'd love me, or try and love me. Thou shalt. That's just a declaration. And you can love if you want to love. And God tells us that Christians are to walk together in love. So let's take it serious, because when we meet God in the judgment, we're going to have to answer how we lived. And unless it's under the blood, you have to forget your sins and they'll be gone, all done away. But we're going to be judged for our works and what we've done for Him after we're saved, not before. Can't say work to be saved, but after you're saved, we work, serve Jesus. Well, we're talking about the angels. I love to talk about the angels, and they're real, and they're here, right here today, and they're in this service, and they're right where you're at. They're all over, the wonderful angels of God, and the angels are near us because angels of God are always close to the child of God, and the minute we accept Jesus Christ, He turns us over to His trusty angels. And like somebody was telling me, it's like in the psalm, it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he says, when you accept Jesus, God takes two angels, one called goodness and one called mercy. And he says, you follow that person as long as they live and until they get to heaven. Goodness and mercy. They're just like angels, and they do follow us, and they are with us, and He watches us all the time. So Christians are never alone. We're never alone. Sometimes we get people write and say that they're lonely, and I know they are for other people, but you're really never alone because you have the Holy Spirit. When we accept the Lord Jesus, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit simply means it's that time where God takes us and our wicked sins, dead in our sins, and He washes us clean, and He transforms us, and He puts us in the body of Christ, and it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you were baptized, if you accepted Jesus, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And somebody says, well, I didn't know that. Well, so you didn't know it. You know, I didn't know I was an American citizen. I got to school, and they told me I was an American citizen. I didn't know that. So whether you know it or not, it's true. And you have the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. And he will never leave us. And we have the angels of God. And they will never leave us. As long as we live, they're going to be with us. Right now, there are angels by your side. Maybe you're in the nursing home. There are angels watching over you. They're with you. Maybe you're a trucker driving these big trucks across the country. I sit in my office. I can see the highway going through the city. I see those big trucks, and I always admire those truckers and how they can back up and they with that long trailer. I have trouble backing up my car. And they back up that trailer, and they'll hit the loading dock just as slick as a whistle. So I admire the truckers. We get letters from truckers, and I'll bet I'll get one on this too. You know, we'd love to hear from you. But it doesn't matter. The point is, the angels are there by your side, wherever you are, whoever you are. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, the angels are there. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, there's no there that you're on your own. You have the devil to help you then. When you come to Jesus, the devil gets right out of the way because the angels are there and the Holy Spirit is there and Jesus is in our heart. Most of the time, the angels are invisible. You don't see them, you don't feel them, but that doesn't mean they're not present. This is demonstrated in Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. The prophet Elisha's servant sees the hills about the village, and they're filled with Syrian soldiers. And they're all over the place, just like ants on an anthill. And the servant is terrified, and he's petrified, and he would run, but he's so scared he can't run. And Elisha calmly calms the quivering servant down. And Elisha says, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha says to God, he prays to God, "Oh God, open the servant's eyes." Open his eyes. And we read, "The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around." The chariots of fire are the angels of God. They were there all the time, but he didn't see them, couldn't see them. Elisha could see them, and he was granted, and so he could see that. And as you read the story, God's angels had a tremendous victory over those Syrian forces and protected Elisha and his servant and the people of Israel. But the point is, there were multitudes of angels there that morning. Elisha the prophet saw them, but the servant didn't see them until he prayed, "Oh Lord, open their eyes that he may see." So my dear friend, I want to tell you, the angels, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus, if you're a believer, the angels are here. They're right with us in this service here, and they are with you in your wherever you are, on a bed of sickness, or maybe you're on a battlefield, maybe you're being persecuted. Part of the persecuted church are hearing our service. The angels are there, and you just trust them and leave that and lean on God. And while the angels are mostly always invisible, sometimes they are visible. There are accounts in the Bible where angels appear as men. Gideon didn't recognize the angel who came to him on the threshing floor. He thought him only as a man in Judges 6. But it was an angel. Samson's mother, when approached by an angel, said, "A man of God came to me," she told her husband. And then she added, "He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome," Judges 13, but he looked like a man until she looked really close, and it was an angel. When the angels came to rescue Lot, they appeared only as men. But when they sent into Sodom and Gomorrah to save Lot from that terrible plight, the judgment upon those wicked cities, looked like men, but they were angels in the appearance of men. And while sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, we read that Abraham looked up and saw three men standing by. Genesis 18. They proved to be angels from God. And remember the admonition in the New Testament, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Hebrews 13, verse 2. And so we need to be very careful that we know that they are there. There are other places, for instance, when Jacob wrestled with an angel in Genesis 32. He's wrestling with a man, but he's an angel. Daniel gives a detailed description of an angel when he met on the riverbank looking like a man, but it was Daniel 10, chapter 10. The angels were at the tomb and they rolled away the stone. And 40 days later, two angels, described as two men dressed in white, Acts 1:10, assured the disciples that Jesus would come again. And you remember the story, Jesus ascended into heaven. And they're heartbroken. The men are heartbroken. What are they going to do? They've given their whole life to Jesus. They've staked everything on Jesus. They don't know which way to turn. And Jesus ascends into heaven. And what does he do? The first thing he does, he thinks of that little group of men left back down there, that group of people left back there. And he sends two angels down and he says, you tell them that I'll come again. Looked like men. They were angels. And it shows how Jesus always watches us. He knows all about us. His eye is ever upon us. He never forgets us. He never fails us. Just trust him and love him. He is so kind, this wonderful Jesus. Yes, there are many, many instances in the Bible where angels were present and seen. Sometimes these angels appear in dreams. When God wanted to guide Joseph in his relationship with Mary, we read in Matthew 1, verse 20 and 22, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And so here he is. He wakes up and he says, I had the strangest dream, but this angel was there. Well, it was really an angel. He thought it was a dream. And what did he do? He obeyed that angel. Just think what Joseph was going through. You see, he's going through this. He is going to marry. He's engaged to marry Mary. And yet she's pregnant. And he could have been done with her like nothing. And God says, don't you be afraid. You take her to be your wife. And don't you think Joseph wouldn't be ridiculed? Don't they think they went through a hell in that Nazareth where their old busybodies would be out on with their tongues a foot long? And they didn't know the workings of God at all. They couldn't have been way off base. They were talking about something, passing off things they didn't know a thing about. Most of gossip is that way. An angel appeared to them. Again, after the wise men had left Bethlehem, and we read that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And in this dream, he says, take this child and go into Egypt because Herod is going to kill all of these little babies, all these little children, because he knows that Christ child has been born. And in order to kill the Christ child, he kills all of the children of Nazareth. I don't know how far out. And Bethlehem, that is. And he says, you go to the other city. And then he just says, go into Egypt. And then after Herod died, the angel comes again. And he tells him, go back to Israel, stay in Israel. And then in front again, the angel appeared to Joseph. He took the child into Nazareth. So the angels here all the time. Sometimes they're visible and sometimes they're not visible. They are here. They are watching over us. They're guiding us. Believe it and trust God and rejoice. And so these angels watch over us. Many wonderful things happen to us when we receive Jesus Christ. For instance, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the Holy Spirit comes to give us guidance and direction. God gives us a host of invisible angels. The minute we accept Jesus, when I was 10 years old, I didn't know it in that country school. There were angels all over the place. Would have scared those people half to death. But they were there. And he gives those invisible angels to watch over us, to help us along the way, to keep us from evil. In 87 years, those angels have been helping me along. We can thank God for that, because the devil would destroy us in a minute. He's going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He would be done with us and had us in hell before you can say Jack Sprat if he had his way, but the angels are there to watch over us. But let me caution you at this point. That doesn't mean we're not going to have some troubles and trials in life. There are going to be troubles. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be disappointment. Remember what Jesus told us in John 16:33? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Just because you have tribulation doesn't mean you're out of God's will. Look at the suffering. Look at the persecuted church, what they're going through. You mean they're out of God's will? They're in the center of God's will. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach about that, how the storm came, and they were in the storm because they're in God's will. So when somebody's wrong, don't be like the friends of Job and say, well, you've got some sin, you better confess, and you get straightened out. Didn't know what they were talking about. Most of these people giving advice outside the Bible don't know what they're talking about, don't have any idea, and they just go around hurting people. So just remember this, God allows these sufferings to come. God permits these sufferings to come. Sometimes God sends these sufferings to come upon us. And so the angels of God, look at the Bible. When God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent his angels to warn Lot and his daughters. And then the angels led Lot and his family out to safety. They were watching over him. When Daniel was in the lion's den, he was protected, and he testified and said, my God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths. When Peter was in prison, an angel came and delivered him. When the apostles were cast into prison, they were delivered by an angel. Acts 5, verse 19, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. David knew all about the angels because he writes in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. But everything that comes into the Christian's life is here for a purpose and for a reason. And the reason is that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And says all things, that includes the bad as well as the good. It includes the hard as well as the easy. The adversary, adversity as well, prosperity, sickness as well as health, and death as well as life. God delegated an angel, maybe a whole band of angels, to watch over every child of his. If you trust Jesus, you have the angels. Remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm 91. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Look at that for a moment. God doesn't say he'll keep us out of trouble. He will help us while we're in trouble. And these health and wealth and prosperity birds going around and say, if you do give your tithe and if you do certain things, you'll be blessed all over the place till you can't stand it. Well, you're just out of the will of God. You're not according to God's will at all, because sometimes God takes them. And when he sent the disciples out in the storm and they about died, they were in God's will. And when those persecuted believers die for Jesus, they're in his will. So the angels of God are our guardians. And it's wonderful. Sometimes something else in passing I want to just say. It seems that God is especially interested in babies and little children. Hagar was going to have a baby, and God's angel told her what to name him. And Manoah and his wife, the parents of Samson, an angel even told him what kind of diet to have. And his name was given before he was born, just like with Jesus. His name was given before he was born. And so it is interesting. Angels do not marry nor have children, but they're intensely interested in babies and little children. And what does it say in Matthew 18, verse 10? Their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Yes, indeed, God's angels watch over them. And that's why you can take comfort and help, because when that little baby is being, that little child, a little baby is aborted, the angels are watching and the angels are caring and God cares. And thank God for that. And so all of us can think of times when we had close calls and we just didn't know. We afterwards, we could see we almost had a wreck. And I remember reading about a man, and he was a photographer, and he was taking pictures of everything, and he was up in the Canadian Rockies, and he had a cave there, and he thought he'd take it, go to the mouth of the cave and take a picture. And he got right up to the mouth of the cave and took the picture. In those days, they had to take it back and develop it, and when he developed, there was a Canadian lynx cat ready to spring on him and take him to death. But God was watching over him. The angels were watching over him. Will you ever say, I had a close call? You, maybe we've had close calls we didn't even know about. And it's because the angels are watching us. How many times we could have gone, but God watched over us. But I want to close by talking about this. Angels carry us to heaven. So the angels of God watch over us all the days of our life, and he takes care of us and keeps us. And then we come to the end of life. And what is that? What is that? Well, it's death. And death is separation. There is a Greek word means a thanatos. It's separation. It means a separation of the spirit and soul from the body. And that's what James says in James 2:26. The body without the spirit is dead. So when we die, our spirit and soul leaves our body. And we know that happened. We know what happens to the body. But what happens to the spirit and the soul? Well, we know what that happens to that too. Here's where the angels come in. Look at them. They watch over us all the days of our life. And when we leave this life, they carry us into heaven. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus died, and we read he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was the place of bliss in paradise in the heart of the earth. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, he took all of those people, all those spirit and souls in the heart of the earth, and he put them in heaven. So when we die, we don't go to the heart of the earth. We go to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us all the way. But how do we get there? How do we get to heaven? The angels carry them there, carried by the angels. Just think of that. The moment we die, the angels are there waiting to carry us to heaven. It doesn't say escort, it says carry. Think of poor old Lazarus sitting outside the rich man's table, eating crumbs, whatever he could get his hands on. He was sick unto death, and he had ugly sores, and the dogs came and licked them. Maybe that gave him comfort and relief, I don't know. Maybe he hated it, but he was so emaciated and poor, he couldn't even drive a dog away. And in this torment and misery, all of a sudden, Lazarus feels a gentle touch on his shoulder, and his eyes are open, and he can see, and he sees a whole band of glorious, beautiful, shining, powerful angels. And they take him up in their arms and they carry him to the presence of the great God and our Father, Jesus Christ, the wonderful, wonderful angels. And he sees all the glories of heaven. And Lazarus, there he is, he's a poor old beggar. And they carry him in a royal escort into heaven, and he sees the glories of heaven. Can you imagine what went through that poor man's mind? Lazarus sees it all. Now he isn't on the outside of the gate anymore. He's inside, and he's inside forever. That's our prospect, friends. That's my prospect. That's your prospect, that when I die, the angels are going to carry me to heaven. There's an old Negro spiritual, and it goes like this. They used to listen to them sing it. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. They hit the nail on the head. They were right. They were going to, the things are going to happen. And they're going to be carried to heaven by the angels. That's going to happen to you someday. That's going to happen to me someday. A whole band of angels, not just one, not just two. I'll bet there'll be hundreds, maybe thousands. And they'll bring us and they'll take us to the presence of God. Are you sick today? Are you downhearted? Are you weary? Are you tired of life? Do you feel like giving up? Are you a friend turned against you? Have you lost a loved one? Are you going through a divorce? Have you lost your job? Cheer up. One of these bright sunny days, God's going to tell his angels, you'll go down there and you bring that one, that loved one. It's time. Bring her home. Bring him home. And the angels will come and carry you home. Friend of mine, will that happen to you? Are you going to be like the rich man? No angels came for him. He just died and he was in torment. Are you going to be like Lazarus, and who trusted Jesus, knew God, put his faith in the Lord Jesus and had that faith? You have to have that. You have to have Jesus. Your only hope after death, at that death, is by coming to Jesus, having Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you could have him right now. And you just pray, dear Jesus, I want you as my Savior. I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you, dear Jesus. I'll turn against my sins the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. If you made that prayer, you're a child of God. If you made that prayer, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us and tell us if you've accepted the Lord, and we'll send you literature and get you started in the Christian faith. Or you can go to our website. We've got a lot of literature on there that you can get to get started in the Christian life. And there are sermons and there are devotions and stuff that you can get that. But maybe you're on, you're out there in some place in the jungle and you don't get to all of these things that we have. But you just then write to us if you can and trust Jesus and get your Bible and read the Gospel of John, and the Lord Jesus will help you. And then the rest of you, you stand by and you pray for us, and you need to support us. You need to help us. And so ask God what you should do about giving, and you just do what God says and we'll be all right. And if you want to send it on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. While you're thinking of that, remember the Evangelical Council, accountability. You don't need to worry about your gift. So now I'm going to pray. We're going to close this service. And dear Jesus, we're just praying, thanking you for all the people all over the world that are praying to receive you right now. And we're praying for those on sick beds, and we're praying for those who are lonely. We're praying for the aged. We're praying for the little children that hurt, Lord. We're praying for the young people that need guidance. We're praying for all, oh God, who may think that their life is not worth living, and help them to know that you love them and you'll forgive them and they can have everlasting life. And you've, Jesus, helped them to do that. And bless all of those dear people in the persecuted church. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're glad that you're with us today. And I hope that you'll make that prayer. I hope you'll turn to Jesus. And I hope you'll rest in Jesus. And I hope you'll just think about, oh, what's coming? Look what's coming for me. Same thing that came for Lazarus. The angels carried him, and they're going to carry me, and I'm going to go through those pearly gates, and I'm going to see that beautiful city of God, and I'm going to be there forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus, for that, because he made it possible when he went to the cross. So you write to us, and you pray for us, and help us if you can. And pray for the film, the showing of that film, The Heart of a Shepherd, because it can bring people to Jesus. That's the only reason we made it, so people can come to Jesus. And don't forget, dear friend, God loves you, and the Christian Worship Hour loves you, and I love you, and I wish I could accept Jesus for you, but I can't. But you can, because God will give you the faith. You just make that prayer, and I'll see you in heaven. God bless you all. You pray for us, we'll pray for you, and by the love of grace of God, we'll all be together in that celestial city of God. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.